Today's program is brought to you by MOFAD, the Museum of Food and Drink. For more information, visit mofad.org.
I'm Erin Fairbanks, host of The Farm Report. You're listening to Heritage Radio Network, broadcasting live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. If you like this program, visit heritageradionetwork.org for thousands more.
Good morning and welcome to The Main Course. Without Patrick Martins, I am Alexis McLaughlin, here as always with Philip Gilmore.
Yo.
Hey, Philip.
What's up?
How are you doing?
Good.
We have a really full studio today.
Yeah, we have, like, yeah, it's packed. Lights out the door. We just heard Erin Fairbanks' voice when the opening commercial. Did I ever tell you the story about my dream about Erin?
I don't think so. I'd like to hear it, though.
I was on my couch watching TV, and I had this dream. I don't even remember the dream, but I was like, Erin was in it. And then I kind of like woke up, and then I looked at the TV, and there was a PBS special. They were doing something about, you know, sustainable farming or something, and Erin was on the show. So I was like dreaming, but I heard Erin's voice, and I was dreaming about her, and I woke up, and she was on
TV. So she's seeping into your dreams.
Yeah, so she Yeah, she's like, so I always say, you're my dream girl, literally.
I love Erin. She's the best.
So who are all these hot guys you brought?
I always bring hot guys to the studio. I'm good at that. Actually, Tito brought these hot guys.
Oh.
Tito is also good at that.
Tito always hangs out with the hottest dudes.
Kadeem O., founder and creator of Mama O's Kimchi. And we also have Mama O's creative director, Ibby Solomon.
Yes.
So
can we hear you?
Ibby, you'll appreciate this. Have you ever seen the videos where there's people like
there you go.
Drunk dudes DJing, and they're like really like, you know, doing the little twisty things and like this, and then they zoom in and the mixer isn't plugged in.
Yeah. No, you see it all the time. Even on like I forgot, it was like some like Fader broadcast I saw like last year, and this girl was DJing, and literally the RCAs weren't plugged in.
Yeah, exactly.
And I was like, why are they zooming in on the mixer and the RCAs aren't plugged in? I was like, this is crazy.
It's because the person running the camera has no idea about DJing at all.
But it's like someone producing the event and watching. It's like, it was really crazy.
So just to let you guys know, we're kind of like an investigative journalist, you know, radio show. So I just want to jump in. Tito was saying that that you guys met because you were doing a show at the Box. Kadeem, is that true? You were you were a performer at the legendary Box.
No, that's the other Kadeem.
No, okay. Sorry. Sorry about that. Inside joke.
No, we actually met. His sister is an amazing DJ, and she used to DJ at
shout out
a place, Sulgi O.
Yo.
So she used to.
Wah, 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 big up.
Yeah, I was like, when I first moved to New York, I was like bussing tables and waiting tables at Lucky Strike, and she was DJing.
Oh, no shit.
Yeah. And she was DJing there, and I just loved the music that she played. This is like way before even I started DJing. And we became cool, then found out we're from around the same way in Maryland. And then
Baltimore?
Right outside D.C.
Nice.
And she was like, oh, well, I'm moving to L.A. My brother's moving up here. You know, like, if you have any leads on DJ gigs, because you go out and get wasted all the time, if you could plug my brother in. And then we met, and then we became cool. And then come to find out, he went to college with my sister at University of Maryland.
Oh, wow.
And then he came up and worked on a project at Joe's Pub with my brother. So it was just like, he was just kind of destined to be.
Is Lucky Strikes still going?
Yeah, it's still, it's still there.
Wow.
Yeah, the first of the McNally Empire.
Yeah, that's right, huh?
Yeah.
God, it has to be over. It has to be over 20 years old. Maybe 20, even longer,
it's
huh?
Probably like almost 20 at this point, right?
No, maybe. even longer than 20, because if, yeah, that was the first Keith McNally one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, I mean, Odeon's been there for 20 years.
Yeah, absolutely.
So Lucky Strike has to be out.
No, I think Lucky's actually... I think Odeon was the first, I think. I think I always mix this up.
No, it was Lucky.
Lucky was the first?
Yeah, Lucky, okay. Then Odeon.
Okay.
Mm. Yeah, it was crazy. I DJed there for 12 years on
really?
On
wow. No shit. Yeah.
Anytime you DJ for longer than 1 year at a place, it's insane.
Yeah.
So 12 years is like... That was like almost all of high school.
Wow.
That's a crazy amount of time. Why is it insane to DJ more than 1 year at a place? Is it just like rotation, like you
Yeah, parties die, places embezzle too much money and become bankrupt. What are
promoters,
other reasons?
Promoters don't pay you because they're too busy trying to bang 16-year-olds.
Someone got shot.
Yeah, that's actually happened. Venues closed because of shootings. Yeah,
Keith McNally has a reputation for the, you know.
He keeps it light.
Yeah,
he keeps
a gangster. It light. Yeah, yeah, no.
I mean, definitely got a lot of respect for Keith. Keith always has a very good ear for music too. Like people give him a lot of props for his restaurant. Like,
oh, dude, yeah, absolutely.
Tornis, but
like every restaurant I go to, I always am amazed. Actually, Mario Batali too, man. Every time I go to like, I've been to Babbo and I'll be like, oh, there's like an Iron Maiden song and then like my favorite R.E.M. song afterwards. Yeah. You know, like Babbo like has the best playlist. Yeah. Every time I eat at Babbo, I'm always amazed with the playlist.
The last time I was at Del Posto, they had like a live pianist there, and he was doing, I don't know, it was like, you know, like Kiss covers and like it was great.
Actually, you guys know Del Posto, obviously.
Yeah.
One of our fellow radio hosts, Mike Edison, is friends with what's his name, Joe Bastianich.
Joe
Bastianich, and they did a Led Zeppelin wine pairing at Del Posto. So you're like, they would, you know, like they'd be this Led Zeppelin song, this is the perfect rock wine to drink with this song.
And not only was it like a, I think it was like a live band Led Zeppelin, like Joe was playing guitar too, but like Mike was playing the theremin.
Yeah. Oh, you guys sick. Know like, yeah. Uh-huh, yeah.
So it was a theremin Led Zeppelin cover wine tasting.
Sick.
Yeah, if you listen to this show, remember to Google Mike Edison. He's a very, very interesting human being. Right. Like, yeah.
We might run into him
like,
after.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He kind of, yeah. But yeah, he's like, plays the theremin. He's written, like, I think 25, like, erotic novels. And what else did he do?
He's right there on your wavelength today, Phil.
What does he?
He was the editor-in-chief of High Times for time being. He wrote, like, God, something like 25 novels in, like, dirty novels in. It was a really short amount of time.
Yeah.
It's like three or four years. Yeah, I forget what you did the math on it. He was cranking out novels a year.
Yeah, no, he's cranking out like one every 6 weeks for like 4 years. Mostly about cheerleaders, I think he said. and also two friends with Gigi Allen.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So that explains a lot there.
Yeah.
Wrestling aficionado.
Oh yeah, wrestling. I think besides the show we did about cannibalism, I think the episode we did with him was probably the gnarliest one because we kept on talking about Gigi Allen.
Oh yeah, those were. That was a really gnarly episode. Yeah. That was our second episode.
And you know, going back to Kadeem here, you know, I remembered our first guest. Was
I already told him about this?
Oh, really?
Mark
Hurst. Yeah, our first show ever. We're up to like probably 50 shows, but like our first guest was about kimchi. So.
I know. I was shocked. You're Kim cheating on me already.
That's a funny Kim cheating.
terrible.
Just really quickly for the people that, you know, like DJ, you were saying your name is DJ Kim Cheetah.
It's just O. It's funny, like I have a friend named 19 and I also have a friend named 52, and so my friend 19, he actually directed and shot and edited the Nas documentary that just came out.
Oh, last year or something. Yeah,
yeah, unbelievable. So anyhow, he gave me my DJ name, which is O, which is also just a circle with a hole in it, 0. And so that's my number name, and that's my DJ number name.
Yes. So I mean, obviously, Illmatic is the greatest hip hop album of all time. But it was the thing I loved about the documentary, because I never really Googled it, but I was like, I know every song, you know, by heart, like everyone does. But it was like, oh, that's who Oogie was. Oh, that's who, you know, like, you know, all the people that he mentions that are like in prison or dead. It's like, oh yeah, I know that guy from the song. It was like so great.
That and what was really cool about that, the whole doc, was the way it started. 19, he was just wanted to do a documentary about 10-year anniversary of Illmatic, and he was shooting it, and then
20 year,
and then he showed it to Nas, and Nas really loved it and got behind the project, and then it morphed into this much bigger project where it traced the roots of the album, and then also the father son relationship with Oludar, who plays on Life's a Bitch. Amazing.
Well, it's kind of good because it's do you remember they did a scene in Belly? Did you see Belly?
Oh yeah.
Because they have the scene from One Love. They stole it because
kids on the bench.
Yeah, the kids on the bench. Yeah. You know, only 12 trying to tell me that he likes my style.
Yeah. I thought you were going to talk about Let's Go Back to Africa and how that almost like murked his career.
Yeah. I would think this is completely off topic, but it's too interesting not to tell. I moved to Boulder in 1999, and I was living in Atlanta. My little brother was living in Florida, so he was like, let's move to Boulder, fuck it. And so he had been telling me, oh my God, I want you to see Belly, it's so good. And I'd been telling him, I want you to see Gummo. And then when we moved into the house, we're like, okay, let's go get videos. You know, Blockbuster's still around, so we actually went and rented Belly and Gummo.
That's a hell of a double feature. Yeah.
But this is so good. And so each of us was telling each other for 6 months, oh, you got to see this movie. So we kind of, I think we flipped the coin. So we watched his movie first. We watched Belly. So there's a fucking scene in Belly where the two guys go to DMX's house and he lives in this, you know, just giant white mansion, and DMX is upstairs, so his boys are downstairs. They turn on the TV and what the fuck is playing?
It's Gummo.
You know, the scene in the junkyard where the guys like pretend to shoot the kid with the red, and he's like, you know, rabbits pussies, you know, like, you know, that whole scene. And I'm like, dude, you're not going to believe what just happened.
Your life is like a dream within a dream within a dream.
There's been all this scientific proof that we're actually living in, you know, some sort of like, you know, AI matrix thing. There's actually people that are coming out right now saying that they think that everything we live in is a holographic world. And I'm like, yeah. Duh.
I want to know what your idea of scientific proof is.
Elon Musk said so. Yeah, Elon Musk said so, and then also it has not been proven. So
okay, I'll take it.
Yeah, it's not been disproven yet, so that means it's true. Right?
Of anyone I know, Phil, you are the dreamer.
We are the dreamer of dreams. We are the music makers. Willy Wonka, anyone? No?
Absolutely.
Apex Twin, anyone?
Shout out Gene Wilder.
Phil, God, Gene Wilder, rest in peace.
Yeah, man, this has been a bad year for people.
Oh, terrible!
Oh, yeah,
terrible,
for sure.
Terrible. You know, the worst thing. So everyone knows about how our God is dead and Prince is gone, right? Mm-hmm. And you know that it was fentanyl that's what did him in, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So did you know fentanyl is 100 times stronger than heroin?
Yeah.
There's carfentanil. Carfentanil is an elephant tranquilizer. That's 100 times stronger than fentanyl. So that means it's 10,000 times stronger than heroin.
Dude, I do not believe you. Can I have one?
Dude, let me tell you. So this is the deal with carfentanil. You can order it legally from China, but with warning, let me tell you, because in just a gram, if you have a gram of it, like a little packet of Splenda of carfentanil, that is enough for 50,000 overdoses.
Wow.
2 milligrams is enough for 100 ODs. So, wow. I don't know, just use sparingly.
Okay, yeah. So I'll take one grain.
Yeah, keep it light.
Well, you know what the neat thing about all the stuff coming out of China now is that all you have to do is just slightly change the molecular structure of it. You have the same drug or stronger, and now it's legal. It's impossible to make it illegal because it's not this, it's this.
Yeah.
So that's where, you know, all the K2 and bath salts and all that shit, you know.
Dude, see, once again, this is like we're living a life within a movie and a dream, because this is all about Deep Cover, where that was the whole Jeff Goldblum character had this smart drug that he was like trying to get popping, and then Lawrence Fishburne, he was like, I'm actually an undercover cop, I want to kill you, and there was this whole racial thing, but yeah, so anyhow, carfentanil, but not Singh, I recommended it.
So, okay, so just for the record, heroin good, carfentanil bad is what you're saying? Okay, good. So heroin safe, carfentanil not safe. You heard it from him. Yes.
There you go.
No, if he just said be light with the carfentanil.
Yeah, keep it light.
Now I know why I'm addicted to your kimchi.
That's the secret. That's the secret sauce.
Where the fuck is the kimchi? So kimchi.
Yeah. So, yeah, I know. Crazy.
Yeah.
That's what I do.
Yeah, man.
It's been 8 years now. So,
Ooh.
you know, they say it takes like 10 years to be an overnight success in the food biz, so I'm almost there.
8 years is a long time. Tito was saying something you had about a store before this.
Oh, something about your deli in Ridgewood.
Oh, yeah,
you were
yeah.
doing Bushwick and Ridgewood before it became quote-unquote
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, that's my problem. I'm just too ahead of the curve.
Yeah.
So I needed a place to make kimchi because I was making it out in my friend's husband's restaurant's basement kitchen prep space in New Jersey. And it was just crazy, like, going out there because I didn't have a car back then, so I'd take the F to the A to the New Jersey Transit, make the kimchi, bring it back, and it became a point where I had to go either all in or all out with the kimchi because making going out to New Jersey to make kimchi is just too much. So I bought a deli in Ridgewood.
Nice.
Nah, kind of.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, so there's a purpose. It's production space. I mean, like, New York's difficult for that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, and the thing is like, at that point, it wasn't making enough money to support itself. So, and the deli was allegedly cash flow positive, even though I got, like, totally juxed by this old Korean couple. Yeah, you think old Korean couple trustworthy?
They're the worst. they're the Hasidic Jews of Asia.
Oh my god!
Sorry, I kid.
Sorry, Coleman and Dolgan. Yeah. I'll pay the rent.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Entire neighborhood we're in right now.
Yeah.
Yes, but
I'm sorry, all of our landlords.
So you were. You were DJing to support your kimchi career at the time?
I mean, I was DJing because that was my career. Like, that's what I did. I played records for money, and I also made music, sold it, licensed stuff. But the kimchi thing was, like, kind of picking up. And then I was like, oh, either you go in or all out. So I bought this deli, and then I started making it in a 10 by 13 foot space in the back. Yeah, it's and while at the same time running a deli, and let me tell you, running a deli is a low respect job. Like, they don't put enough respect on it. So for the first 6 months I was there, every hour was open from 6:30 in the morning till 10 at night, 7 days a week.
It's a lot of time. Is a deli still open, or are you in a new spot?
Yeah, I moved out. Thankfully, I moved out. Now I'm in the Pfizer building, which is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Pfizer building. It's they say it's South Williamsburg, but it's Bed-Stuy.
How much space you got now?
I love, you know, I got almost like 1,000 feet, and that's where I'm like cranking out the cabbage and, you know, just just chopping it up.
I've never heard South Williamsburg.
Oh, South Williamsburg. That's the new hotspot.
The J line, the MJZ.
Yeah, I never heard it called South Williamsburg. I mean,
you don't know about Zoe?
No.
There's actually a documentary called Los Sures that, you know, goes into that whole South Williamsburg.
Yeah.
Thing, yeah.
And it's really good.
So, well, yeah, really you know, also, too, remember even when you go to the water, all of that along the water.
No, I mean, I lived on South 4th in Bedford. Like, yeah. I know Southside.
Oh, you're so wee.
Williamsburg. You're so wee. But, and, like, and it still goes past. Is, but, like, Pfizer
that,
building
is
not
Korean?
Is in
Korean?
Any way Williamsburg.
So we came to
you. Oh, I know.
Yeah.
Hey, and we were just there at Zoe's book release party for The Good Fork, the 10-year anniversary.
Yeah.
Korean food killing it.
So we.
Korean food really has, like, just, like, blown up over the last decade. When you were, I mean, was there a market for kimchi when you started? Because it...
No, not
really
at all.
It wasn't on the radar.
Yeah.
Like when did you first get picked? Because you're in Whole Foods, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
When did you first get picked up, like, by more major retailers?
Whole Foods. I started doing Whole Foods 2006. Wait, no, 2008, 2009, 2010. Like 2012. So it's been about 4 years now. And it's funny because when I first started doing making kimchi, like, no one knew really what it was. And then fast forward to, like, a party, like, a month ago, I'm talking to this girl. I was like, oh, yeah, you know, I make kimchi. Do you know what that is? And she's like, duh, I live in Brooklyn. I was like,
Got it.
Well, I think it kind of falls in line with the well, obviously, like the whole vegan movement. But on top of that, which is, I guess, kimchi can or cannot be vegan, but also yeah, the macrobiotic, yeah. But also like probiotic, yeah. And you know, all of that lactose back into the
Your pronunciation is on point.
Yeah, I study Latin.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, people are just realizing that, like, Korean food's the best. Yeah. And, you know, it's like, what's better than Korean food? It's like food for lazy people. You sit at a table, you barbecue right there, you don't even get up. You don't have to, like, put some tongs on. You just do it, grab it with the chopsticks, stick it in your mouth.
Speaking of racist Korean people, you know when you sit down and they bring you all the appetizers, it's banchan?
Yeah, the banchan, yeah.
Yeah, I get so pissed off. If I look at a table of Korean people next to me, and then they have the little baby anchovies or the little octopus things, and they give me the fucking potato salad and apples, and I'm like, yeah. You, come here. See that? Yeah. That I want that now. Yeah. I throw a hissy fit.
I hear you. Yeah. I hear you because
you like the anchovies? Yeah. And I'm like, yeah, man, I like anchovies.
Oh, by the way, that was a very good accent.
Yeah. I own a Japanese restaurant. It's like, the thing, you know, some of my best friends are gay, so I can say no.
History is our most.
I've got one
episode.
Korean friend, okay?
Yeah.
Man.
I saw MASH.
Yeah. I've eaten a dokebi over 4 times. I'm allowed to say.
Ibby, when did you get involved in the brand?
I guess more definitively, I guess maybe when Kimchi Palooza started.
What? Kimchi Palooza?
Oh, you've never been to Kimchi Palooza?
What?
I should just take my headphones off right now.
What?
I'm so sorry.
Somebody didn't do their research.
So I guess that was 6 years ago. I mean, we've been friends for longer. Yeah. And, you know, I've always loved kimchi. And I've tried to keep a jar in my fridge at all times. Because as soon as I run out, I get sick. It's weird. It's like this weird phenomenon. But, 6 years ago, we just started talking, like, how can we make Mama O's and kimchi, like, more into people's lives and like get people talking about it. And I think the plan, at least we've talked about, is like try to make kimchi, like try to make Mama O's synonymous with kimchi, right? The way like Xerox is photocopying, Google is like search engine, you know? So I was like, all right, we got to get out there. We got to do something really crazy. And we just were talking one night. I'm pretty sure there was marijuana and alcohol involved. And was like, yo, we should
legal
just,
marijuana.
Yeah, legal, of course, you know.
Medicinal.
Exactly. So we were like, yo, we should do like a spicy kimchi eating contest and just see what happens. And, you know, and now we've been doing it for 6 years.
Well, when is it?
It's usually every summer. It just passed. And, well, actually, that was a long time ago past. But, yeah, it's like every summer. And, you know, the trophy grows and gets bigger and bigger. At this point, I don't think they make trophies bigger than 6 feet. So we're probably going to have to go to belts. But that's kind of how I got involved with it, to make a long story longer.
Is it who can eat the most in the shortest amount of time? Or like,
exactly, yeah, yeah. Or, because my brother's always been like, oh, I can eat if it's spicy. My brother could eat if it's spicy. I'm like, you can't eat that much spicy kimchi at the same time. And
do,
I'm
do,
like,
do you, oh, do you have professional eaters that are at this point?
We have a three-peat
yeah,
winner.
Yeah, three-peat winner, Wayne Wonder.
I'm kind of like, I'm not like best friends with him, because I actually met him and I actually judged, me and Tito judged a hot sauce competition.
Oh, okay. Oh.
My friend Chu Fu dropped out after about 60, and then I think Tito dropped out after about 75, and then I dropped out at 90.
Okay.
And then I actually skipped the triple X round because it was like,
no one needs to do that. You have nothing
to prove at that point.
Well,
right?
we I think around the time that you, before Chu Fu dropped out, and then right when you dropped out, we were at the like probably 250 Scoville units, 250,000 Scoville units.
Oh my God.
And then I stayed around for one more round, which was like the 300 to 500, and then after that, they were going up to like the 900 and 1 millions.
Yeah, so it's like the Carolina Reaper. It's like the
dude. You
the
know, we actually my chef Izzy just got in. It's the Trinidad chocolate scorpion pepper. It's number 2 in the world.
Okay.
It's almost twice as hot as a ghost pepper. It's 800 times hotter than a habanero, or 800 times hotter than a jalapeno or habanero. Anyways, yeah, it's like we were telling the staff, if you want to try it, you can try it. So think about when you cut your pinky nail, mm-hmm. and think about the, not your pinky nail, but the part you cut off, mm-hmm. a piece that size with none of the pith on, mm-hmm. with the waiters eat that, it's like ruins 10 minutes of their life.
Yikes.
Like that's that hot.
Have you guys ever tried pepper spray?
Yeah.
It's, that's I have a horrible pepper spray story. So so when I was like 12 years old, my...
Selling fentanyl.
No, not selling.
Came.
I wasn't there yet.
No.
But so my my best friend at the time, we would do the most horrible things on earth, right? Like, I'm a definitely a changed man. But he, his grandfather was in World War II. And he had these like survival books, like these like old, super old school like manuals, like how to like survive. Like, you know, some of it was like chemical attacks or whatever. And like we were reading about how you can build tolerances towards things, right? So, so me and my friend decide to like close ourselves off in my my bathroom and spray it with pepper spray to try to build immunity towards it, right? So we did this, and we're literally dying, right? Literally dying. It's the worst moment of my life, probably. And then we did that, and then maybe, like, a couple of days later, we go into, like, the locker room, and I spray it. And literally everyone's dying, and me and him are okay. And I was like, holy shit.
It works!
Like, this actually works.
You pepper sprayed your locker room
yeah,
in school?
Yeah, everyone hated us. I definitely could have gotten expelled for that, but... didn't
I about over 20 years ago I worked at a famous chain restaurant. I won't name which one.
Benihana.
Schmapplebee's.
TGIT.
McDonald's.
Thursdays. Yeah, no, it's a McDowell's.
McDowell's.
So this girl says, oh, my dad's a cop, and he got me this, like, you know, military grade pepper spray. Mm. And then it's like, you know, and it actually, it's, you know, zeroes in and you can hit somebody from like 20 feet. It's like, oh, cool. And like, let me see it. And then I'm like, I want to go try it out. So I actually just opened the fucking, you know, emergency back door of the restaurant. Mm-hmm. And I just went spray like that, and the wind was blowing this way. they had to evacuate the entire restaurant. Yeah, and and then I went to her. I'm like, please don't say anything because I'm going to say you did it. No, you have the pepper spray. I don't have any pepper spray.
It was like, you know. After school, high school, nothing better to do. My friend, like, we were at his house, and he had pepper spray there. Or, like, maybe it was his mom's, like, keychain or, like, the spare keys or whatever. So we spray some out on a plate because we just wanted to taste it. We just wanted to see how spicy
right,
it was.
Right, because it's pepper spray.
We were trying to pepper spray ourselves. So we spray some out onto a plate, and then we both dip our fingers in it and then put it on our tongue.
Oh, my God.
This is my first try and pepper spray story, and
first
it was, and it's fine. Like, it's really spicy, but it's not that bad. Mm. And then you swallow.
Yeah.
And it just explodes.
Oh, because it's a pure
it explodes before you swallow.
Oh my God.
Do you guys know how Scoville units work?
No.
Do you guys know?
No, I don't.
Okay, so you know you have a million Scoville units. Yeah. Okay, so think about this. I did the math.
What do you mean you have a million Scoville units?
Okay, so it says...
Is that the range?
So peppers. Like jalapeno is like something like, I don't know, like 2,000 to 5,000. A habanero is like, you know, 50,000 to 100,000 Scoville units. So what it is, the Carolina Reaper, let's say it's up to 2 million. So let's say it's 2 million Scoville units. What that means is if you take the pepper, grind it up into like a paste... If you take 1 gram of that pepper, okay, mm-hmm. all pureed, you need 2 million grams of water to dilute it to where you can't taste it anymore. So that means if you took 1 million grams of water and put 1 gram of this in it, you can still taste the spice.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I figured it out. It's about like, it's probably about from me to the wall and this entire room full of water for one pepper.
Holy shit.
He just gave you a recipe for your next
pepper. That's like four hot tubs.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. It's about, yeah. Yeah. Or like, you know, probably like 100 bathtubs.
Hey, four eight capacity person hot tubs.
Oh, yes. Up. Yes.
In the hot tub.
I just saw a picture of your guys' trophy. Kadeem just showed me a picture. We're gonna have to put that one up on the web. It is like 6 feet tall. They make them that big.
Yeah, we got the biggest one we can get. We go bigger every year.
What's the trophy from the league called?
Oh wow!
Shiba. Oh yeah, the Shiba. Wow.
Hey, what's the deal? Can we like order drinks here? Can we be like, if we say it on the air, will they magically appear?
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly how it works. Actually, anything you say that you want will magically appear.
Powerball tickets, winning Powerball tickets.
You know, actually, let's take a quick break because we got to go to some sponsor stuff. And then we'll be back to talk more with the guys from Mama O's Kimchi.
Yo. Shout out Tito.
All right. Tito.
lasted as long as he did. He was 36 years old.
There are over 50,000 Chinese-American restaurants in the U.S. That's more than three times the number of McDonald's. How did Chinese-American food become so popular? And what's the story behind their unique menu of dishes like egg rolls and General's Chicken? Brooklyn's Museum of Food and Drink is going to explain it all with our next exhibition, Chow, the Making of Chinese-American Cuisine, featuring tastings, beautiful artifacts, and live demos of a fortune cookie machine. Visit chow.mofad.org to learn more, get advanced tickets, and help us make this exhibition a reality. Again, that's the Museum of Food and Drink at C-H-O-W, chow.mofad.org.
And with the byproducts of his shows. Yeah, playing with Gigi, I had my own laugh threatened many times. One night in Raleigh, some pissed off rap boys followed us to our motel with baseball bats. And you know you were about to enter a world of pain when Gigi Allen is the one calling the cops. Beyond the bluster and beyond the broken glass, Gigi adhered to a cogent philosophy of rock and roll. Rock and roll is creator, rock and roll is destroyer. He was everything Ma and Pa ever warned you about. Fuck phonies like Lou Reed. Gigi Allen was the rock and roll animal, and he believed it with his heart, and he believed it with his soul. And despite his constant threats to kill himself on stage, man, he reveled in it. He loved it. He loved being Gigi Allen. Yeah, Gigi. The last time I saw him, maybe a year before he died, I was hosting a rooftop barbecue. It was a pleasant afternoon. Gigi and I were wearing aprons and silly chef hats, flipping burgers and drinking beer. He asked me if I wanted to be on the guest list for the show the next day, and I told him I wasn't going. "We're having a nice time," I said. "It was really good to see you. Why would I want to ruin that vibe by going to one of your gigs?" He laughed. "Yeah," he told me, "you're probably right." Gillies Rodeo Bar in Pasadena, Texas. Warlord Jonathan Boyd was fumbling for his keys. He was fucked up and trying to do business out of the trunk of his Lincoln Continental. When he finally got it open, he pulled out a championship belt. It was made of worn leather and heavy metal, and it carried the weight of 1,000 bloody matches won in 1,000 sweater roadhouse arenas. It was a totem of all that was great about Texas wrestling. "I'm gonna put you over, mate," he told the kid, and handed him the strap. "You're the new Texas Junior Heavyweight Champ." The kid beamed. He was a good-looking Mexican boy, and the fans loved him. He had been in the business for less than a year, and already he was getting a promotion. So what if it was 2 a.m. in a parking lot, and the boss was bombed and could barely remember his name? Obviously, this is how it was done, or else what the fuck would they have been doing out there in the first place?
Oh, that's a whole lot of Mike Edison over the break.
I could never get enough of Mike Edison.
That's an honest statement.
He has fun everywhere he goes.
I fucking love
that
guy.
That's his. That's, you know, he is a very good writer. Yeah. I do, like, everything that he's written, I always enjoy. He always posts stuff, like, there's, like, articles, this and that, but...
I kind of like annoying him, though, because, you know, he's a pretty, aside from being, comedical genius, comedical.
That's a David, word now.
David, comedical.
Sure. Added to the dictionary.
What is the word, Alexis?
Comedic.
Comedic.
Comedical.
Is that a
well, that's what you said.
That's what I said.
Okay. That's a thing now.
That's what he said.
No, but aside from my respect for him, I love bugging him all. Like, I'll see him on the street and I'll be like, hey, everybody, look, it's famous Mike Edison. And he goes, yeah, Phil.
He's easy.
It's just me and Alexis now.
We ditched everyone else.
I'm here too.
Alone.
We always got David.
Are you really? You shut up, Elon Musk. Get out of my brain.
This is only a simulation. Yeah.
Man.
You are not real.
Man, Elon Musk, the architect in the Matrix is based on you. Oh, look who came back. Hey. Oh, cool, man.
Beer friends.
Oh, you're good.
Well, it is Sunday.
Speaking about dreams. Sorry. They had to go get some co-fentanyl. So, what's that?
Yo, Mike. So I'm at the bar and I run into Michaela Daniels. Shout out to you, Wood Acres alum. Girl I went to elementary school with.
No shit.
Yeah.
Really?
In Maryland. I grew up in Maryland, yeah.
Do you know that she lives in New York, though?
Yeah. I'd run into her before one other time, but I was like, but years ago. So shout out to her.
Nice. That's, tell her to listen.
I told her. Tune in, but she's hanging out with her mom and chilling. So.
David, do we have a show? Is there a show on at one, David?
There's a show I got to play at one, yeah.
Oh, okay.
But you can hang out.
Yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so we got about 10 minutes to plug whatever the fuck you guys do.
Upcoming kimchi.
Ooh, yeah.
Upcoming.
What's new? So we're coming out with a new kimchi that we're excited to come out with. It's coming out in a couple months. I'm not really good at building up the suspense, huh?
You were saying that Shan was going to direct a movie called The Cabbage Kings. Is that correct? Cabbage Kings!
Get 1-9 in the mix, too.
If you thought the Rumble Kings was hard, wait till you get a load of these guys. Cabbage Kings.
That's actually a great idea.
Cabbage Kings. That's not...
I love
you heard it, here
I
first.
It. Let's do it.
Hey, man, I got a camera. I got two cameras.
Yo, give me 2 points off the back end. Did I say that right, David?
Good. It was good. It was pretty good.
David stitched us. Okay, he ran out of the studio.
Okay, so technically this is a food show, so I have some specific questions about the kimchi. I've learned a lot about. I've been eating kimchi for probably 25 years. I've known about kimchi. You know, blah blah blah. But I've also eaten. You know, I'm a fucking food
like
guy.
Food's good.
But from meeting Mark, I realized that there are so many subtle, so many subtle differences between the kimchi. Have you ever had? Do you know Mark Hurst, or do you know about him?
No, I mean I've heard the legend, but
he's actually a DJ too. He goes by A Pleasure, and his album's gotten a lot of like positive press.
Oh,
or
yeah,
whatever.
That was pretty recent.
But it's kind of cool because his kimchi it's called Harmony, which is I think means grandmother.
Harmony, yes,
so
absolutely.
It's called Harmony Kimchi, and so it's funny because his version is vegan, but it sounds really like, you know, hipster kimchi. But he's half Korean, and his grandmother's recipe from the mountains of Korea. It's a 300-year-old recipe, but they don't really have the anchovies or shrimps or fish or whatever for the kimchi. So it's in the mountains. So it's a vegan version, but not as a marketing brand or to be like, you know, cool. It's that's his family's recipe. So I thought that was neat that, you know, there's, you know.
Yeah. What's cool is like there are over, you know, hundreds, you know, over 100 types of kimchi. And what's cool about kimchi too is that it's very regional. And so there's a sense of like
we're cheersing.
Yeah,
the,
cheers!
The people on the other side of the glass.
Hey, Roberta's. There's a sense of terroir with kimchi because there's no, like, a lot of people ask me when you make your kimchi, do you have some type of starter? Like, is there a type of yeast or anything? And the answer is no. Everything's just open air fermented. So it's whatever's in the air
cabbage is not the easiest thing, but a lot of things you need to like nurse along, but like just to make, just like, you know, coleslaw or
sauerkraut.
It ferments very easily, you know, so that's kind of neat. Yeah.
Yeah, and so that's what's interesting to me is like the process is the same, but it depends on what bacteria is in the air. It will influence how it's going to taste, how fast it's going to ferment.
So since you're a commercial producer, you don't use anything?
No,
it's just a natural.
It's super super old school, just like your grandma would do it if she was making kimchi for 1,000 people.
There's some probably pretty funky things in the air, considering that's
Brooklyn.
Well, and the old Pfizer building.
Florida,
where they invented Viagra.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, the secret's out now.
So how many different types of kimchi are you doing?
Right now, I make 7. I discontinued one.
Which one did you discontinue?
The cucumber one, the oi kimchi, which I love, which is kind of my favorite.
Oi! But,
oi! I know, it's so so punk in Brooklyn. But the problem with that, and which I recently found out, this is why the huge, like, Korean companies don't make it anymore, is because it's a thing that you can only make, like, locally because it's such a fresh product. It's like ricotta, you know, it's like ricotta cheese. You know, you can't, like, make mass produce it and then have it be
or you got to start putting the fucking xanthan gum and fucking Walter's dextrin or whatever they do.
Exactly. Yeah. And I don't want to do that, because the whole thing is like, the whole thing with Mama O's is like, I'm trying to, the whole reason actually I even started the company is because I couldn't find any good kimchi out there. Like for me, like, all the mass produced stuff was just terrible, full of MSG. So I just want to make the best product that I can make. So the cucumber kimchi I realized is actually a much more like local seasonal product. So that's why I'm coming out with the new kimchi in a couple months.
Which one?
Should I leave it like
Trump? We need a drum roll.
I'm going to leave you in suspense. No, it's Muche. Muche. Muche, Muche, Muche.
And that is?
It's a pickled daikon, like shredded daikon.
Shredded. But you already have a daikon one, though?
I do.
It's the cubed one, right?
Yes.
Yeah. And okay, so how many type of cabbage kimchi do you have?
Four.
Four. And is it different spice levels or what's the...
Yes. I make original, which is the OG. I make a vegan one, which is for the vegans. And then super spicy, which using the ghost pepper, which used to be the number one. Now I guess is like number 6 spicy pepper.
Yeah.
And then I make a white kimchi for white people.
Nice.
It's completely mild. No chilies.
Like I said, we're investigative journalists, and so literally, do not buy the white kimchi. It is literally sauerkraut. No, it's literally just sauerkraut. Yeah.
True.
Gotta give the people what they want.
Yeah.
Those dummies.
Oh no! You can call it the Fuhrer. No. Oh, boo!
Awesome!
Really
yes.
Hitting them all today, Phil.
Kim Jong Il with 2 L's. Ill.
No. Oh, that's Well, that's who I was for Halloween 3 years ago. I was Kim Jong Chil.
It was incredible.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
Yeah, I have terrible vision, so I'm almost legally blind. So I bought these like birth control goggles because I just thought they were funny. These glasses so if you have terrible vision, you need small lens glasses because as the lenses get bigger, it gets super huge and crazy.
Yeah.
And so I bought these because they were funny. And it's actually a discount deal from LensCraft crafters. If you like, get 2, same price.
Yeah.
So I got these things. I wore them, and I was Kim Jong Chil. That's the Halloween story.
That's really funny. I'm interested. Do you have any favorite Korean restaurants? What do you think of
the favorite restaurant question? That's such a because it's like,
oh, okay, no, that's not favorite. Go to, or whatever.
Just keep a favorite. Don't come in any slack.
Yeah.
Tough question.
Well, you know what's my favorite. is the OG, Kangsa on 32nd Street.
Which one?
Kangsa, uh-huh. K-A-N-G space S-U-H. Uh-huh. So good, super official, like just very old school, but they have everything. And the best thing is they're open 24 hours.
Yeah. Is it a first floor place or a second floor place?
It's a both. It's a first and second floor place. And this is like the OG. Well, not, it's of 32nd Street, not of K-Town, because K-Town actually started on 34th Street. Yeah. And then it turned into 32nd Street. So Kangsa's great. Wanjo is great for the barbecue. They're, I believe, the last one with the live charcoals.
Yeah.
Yeah, so those, what those about, are my spots.
What do you think about Kum Gang Song?
Kum Gang Song?
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. But yeah. I mean, but you have to go all, you know, out to Flushing to go there.
I also like, obviously I don't speak Korean, but Sikgak?
Shikak.
Actually, that's the first time I had it. it's actually the only place I ever had the live octopus.
Oh, yeah, so
man,
good,
it is,
right?
The first time I went with two of my chefs, two of my waiters, all super official, like foodie, you know, food experts. And each one of us, we took turns eating the octopus, and every single one, and you would just do like, watch the person. Every person went like, ah, even me. I freaked out because it actually got stuck to my gums, and its skin is still moving. It's not that big piece. It's a little tiny piece. It's so strong still that I couldn't get it off of my gums with my tongue. Mm. I literally had to pull it off because it was stuck so hard.
In Korea, they call that babo.
Yeah.
But have you had glass? What are glass eels? Is that what they're called? Like the, you know, like the tiny little eels. They look like noodles, and you pour broth on them, and they all start wiggling and trying to flap out the bowl.
Yeah, I haven't. I've had the Spanish version, but not live.
Mm.
Have you? Do you know this?
I have. Oh, I have. Yeah. Wow. So good. I was out in Korea, Jeju Island, where the mermaids they go. These, you know, middle-aged Korean women go and they free dive and get the abalone and the octopus. And
wow. I saw, I think it might have been Japan or Korea. I saw some really...
Yeah, you know, same thing.
No. I'm not like that. But I'm not like the others. I'm not like the rest of the entire country, literally. But it was really old, like 20s, like, you know, 30s. And it was all black and white pictures, but it was this culture of women that were like free divers.
Oh.
It might have been Korea. Yeah. But they called they called them the mermaids. So that's why I think, yeah, so I think it was maybe the same thing, but like maybe 100 years ago.
Though. I actually know what you're talking about. It's still a tradition for the women to be the divers. Yeah. We got to wrap it up.
You have to wrap it up.
You have to wrap it up.
So this is when I did DJ at the box. Quick shout out.
I'm on Wednesdays at the box. Yeah. Fun place.
Yeah.
If you've never been, you should come just because you're going to have a wild story. Trust me.
It's a once in a lifetime thing.
Except for him, it's once a week.
To wrap it up.
Yeah.
This week it was two, and I'm still recovering.
Yeah. And then, and what else?
Kadeem, where do we find Mama O's stuff?
We're an international radio show. Can they order online?
You can order it online.
Absolutely.
It's available at Woolworths in South Africa. I'm working on a deal with...
It is.
Awesome.
There's a Woolworth in South Africa.
Yo, Woolies is no joke. In South, Woolies is very high end. Woolies is high end out there. I'm working on a deal with, and so hopefully soon it will be in.
Great.
Yeah, but go to kimchirules.com.
Target or Walmart. Walmart.
So. Huge thank you, Kadeem O and Ibi Solomon. Also, huge thank you to Tito Cabrera for...
Basically our executive producer.
Yeah. Another music show.
Or PA. Let's start him at PA.
No.
I love you, Tito.
All right, guys. Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.
You're awesome.
Thanks for listening to this program on heritageradionetwork.org. You can find all of our archived programs on our website or as podcasts in the iTunes store by searching Heritage Radio Network. You can like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can email us questions at any time at info@heritageradionetwork.org. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization. To donate and become a member, visit our website today. Thanks for listening. Sunshine through the rain. You are the drug that cures my pain.